Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. U.S. News and World Report recently calls attention to the awesome fact that America has destructive atomic weapons equal in explosive power to more than 1 million atomic bombs such as were dropped on Hiroshima in Japan. Similarly, Soviet Russia, by best estimates, can hurl at the United States the equivalent of about 350,000 Hiroshima-type bombs. Well, that this is an age of power, no one can deny. The greatest symbol of power is the lowly atom, a particle of matter so small it cannot be observed with the naked eye, but when harnessed is powerful enough to destroy the world. Man's inventive genius is likewise evidenced in the satellites flung into space, driven heavenward by tremendous rockets, a new symbol of our age of power. The greatest power in all the world, however, is not related to any of man's scientific inventions, as great and wonderful as they may be. Take a blade of grass, or a tree root that can lift a sidewalk, or explain a watermelon seed that can expand itself roughly some 200,000 times. Said William Jennings Bryant, "Until you can explain a watermelon, do not be too sure that you can set limits to the power of the Almighty." Well, God's power remains today the greatest force known to mankind. And to think that when the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Yes, he has all power today. The Apostle Peter would remind us, "His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Think of it, friends. All that we need pertaining to this life and to live godly is available in and through Christ. Now, what is it you need today, beloved? God's divine power is adequate. Heaven's resources are available. And the Lord Jesus sitteth at the right hand of the Father, ready, willing, and able to meet all the needs of his children. Now, do you believe this? Do you believe that God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? The Apostle Paul sought to drive home this message to the Ephesians, who already gave evidence to understanding some of the tremendous truths of God's holy word. Writing to the church at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul is found praying that their spiritual eyes might be opened, that they might come to realize, quote, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion?" Now, I don't suppose you were aware of it, but the word power occurred at least three times in those few verses we just read. You will be further surprised to learn that in the Greek text from which we read the English translation, you will find that three separate and distinctly different Greek words are all rendered in the one English word power, and thus we miss the full scope and impact of the meaning of the divine power that is available to us today. Now, listen closely, friends. First of all, there is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. The word power here is the Greek word dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. The Apostle Paul in Romans refers to the gospel as dynamite, for he declares the gospel is the dunamis of God, the power of God, the dynamite of God, unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth. Now this is saving power, power to break the stoniest heart, to convert a sinner into a saint, to transform even the vilest among men. Drunkards are made sober, the harlot made pure, thieves stop stealing because of this great power of God. trotter, hopeless drunkard who sold his baby shoes for liquor, later becoming converted to Jesus Christ by this saving power, and then operating a city rescue mission to win others for Christ. Just one of the many trophies of grace, exemplifying, friends, this wondrous transforming power. Well, then secondly, there is what we might call the keeping power of God. The Lord Jesus doesn't save us to forget us. Rather, we are precious in His sight, and Christ ever sits at the right hand of God with all power to meet human needs. The Apostle Paul here refers to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Now the word power here is the Greek word isuos. We might call this resurrection power, the great supernatural, superabundant power of God, which brought forth the Lord Jesus from the dead. My friends, that power God makes available to the believer today. Of all the mysteries and marvels of science, none of man's scientific achievements can compare with so great an accomplishment as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, the theme of the apostles is the resurrection of Christ. Everywhere the disciples went, they preached the resurrection, declaring that if God could raise up Jesus from the dead, He could transform their lives, heal their bodies, and meet every human and spiritual need. And so it is today. While some may mock and others scoff and ridicule, our Lord has declared all power is His in heaven and in earth. It is as we appropriate this power that we can come to know something of this superabundant strength of which the Apostle speaks, and which is available to us today. But the Apostle Paul would again remind us, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Think of it, friends. The Bible reminding us the same Spirit that came into a lifeless body, bruised and mutilated, out of which the blood had flowed, is able to quicken our mortal spirits, our mortal bodies, rather, to supply strength and vitality to nerve and muscle. You know, so much worldly medicine has spirits of alcohol in it. Why not avail ourselves of God's Holy Spirit, sent to strengthen and quicken the physical as well as the spiritual life of the believer? The Apostle Paul knew whereof he spoke. Often beaten and bruised, he would no doubt meditate upon Isaiah's marvelous prophetic declaration concerning the Lord Jesus, that by His stripes we are healed. And Paul's bruised body received a healing injection. Think of the many times the Apostle was thrown into prison, cast into a dark, damp, unheated dungeon amid rodents and refuse. Now, if we sit in a draft for a few moments, we're apt to get neuritis or pneumonia. But no doubt the Apostle Paul looked up to the Lord in prayer during these times, reminding him he was His child. And God fortified his being with spiritual vitamins this world knows nothing about. Hallelujah. On another occasion, the Apostle was mobbed in the city of Lystra, stoned, dragged outside the city, left for dead. But again we read, the resurrection power of God pervaded his entire being. Sensing new strength and vitality, he arises, returns back into the city again. That, beloved, is the great resurrection power of God which is available to us today. Now, are you sick today? Then claim this power for your body. You'll remember when the Lord Jesus healed Peter's wife's mother. Incidentally, did you know Peter was married? Anyway, healing those who were sick, we read that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Bare our sicknesses, friends. That's a correct translation. Did you know when Jesus died on the cross, He bore your sicknesses as well as your sin? That's right. Sickness and sin are both traceable to Satan, my friends. And the Bible would remind us that when Jesus died and rose again, it was through death that He might destroy him that had power even over death, that is the devil. Christ is all-powerful today. Oh, that we might begin to fathom this great power that Jesus has to break the chains of lust and sin, as well as to heal sickness and disease. For our Lord said to the palsied man, whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. He has all power today. All power is his in heaven and in earth. Now thirdly, we point out that the Lord is now seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion. The Greek word used here is the word exousia, which is also translated into the English word power and referring to Christ's exaltation. All are subject to him, kings and princes, men and nations, even Satan himself. The Lord Jesus today sits enthroned above all principality and power and might and dominion. And although we wait his coming to reign upon this earth, he is already titled the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We would yet call your attention to the fact that before Jesus came to this earth, the devil had tremendous power. The Greek word dunamis was used to describe his vast power and untrammeled power. But when our Lord Jesus died and rose again, this Greek word exousia is also used to describe Satan as a lesser power, for Christ came to bruise his head. And so, beloved, the Lord Jesus today is victor, conqueror of death, having wrestled the keys of death and of hell from Satan. We too can be more than conquerors through a vital living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, friends, today if you would sincerely desire to please the Lord, believe God for this power that is needed in our own lives. Come to Christ and ask him to save you, to heal your body, to give strength to feeble muscles, to give rest to tired nerves and weary minds. God grant it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.